Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Beis, final daf in Mesechtes Ksuvis. And we're starting four lines from the bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph Omid Beis. And the Gemara continues to tell us about the Malois of Eretz Yisrael, both in the times of the Shas, as well as in the future, Mi'at Hashem, when Mashiach will come. So Gemara tells us, Romi Bar Yecheskel, Ikla LeBnei Brak, he came to B'nai Brak. Chazon ul anol izi, and he saw these goats, tika'achlin, that were eating tusei te'enei, underneath a fig tree. Bekanotiv duvshim te'enei, as they were eating some of the dvash, some of the honey was coming down from the te'enei. We don't normally think of honey and te'enei, we normally think of honey together with tamarim, but presumably it means some of the sap or juice came from the te'enei and was nice and sweet, just like honey. And the same ism as they were eating, also milk was coming down from them. And now, as a result of the combination of the dvash of the figs and the milk that was spurting from them, they got mixed together. And Omar, Sir Rabbi Yecheskel said, oh, that's what it says in the Torah. This is a land where both the milk and the honey are flowing. And a similar story, Rabbi Yaakov ben Dustoy, may Lud li'Oinoi, from the town of Lud to the town of Oinoi, ishloishem milim, is a distance of 3 mil. Pam achas kidamti b'neshev, one time I got up really early in the morning, v'halachti, and I walked from one to the other, v'halachti ad karsulai, karsulai are ankles. I went up to my ankles, b'dvashel te'enim. In other words, it was such rich figs that the figs were leaking dvash, all the sweetness, and so therefore it was not just a little bit, there was so much that he was walking the entire way from Ono, from Lud to Ono, in dvash shel te'enim. Omri Shlokish Liditi Chazeli Zobeschol of Dvash shel Tzipori. Tzipori is a town in northern Eretz Yisrael, not far from Tveria. Gemara Megillah says it's called Tzipori because it was on the top of a mountain. You were able to go and see from it like a tzipor, like a bird on top of the mountain. So you had a bird's eye view of everything around. Anyway, I saw that was called Vashel Tzipori. They have a shitzer milen, a shitzer milen. It was 16 mil by 16 mil. If you want to get an idea of how much 16 mil is, as you know, a mil is 2,000 amas. And amma, according to Chazon Ish, is 2 feet. So therefore, every mil is 4,000 feet. If you're talking about 16, if you multiply 16 times 4,000, anybody have an idea how much that would be? That would be approximately 64,000 feet. 64,000 feet. If you divide 64,000 by a mile, how many feet are there in a mile? Approximately 5,280. Ah, so you see you're talking about roughly 11 or 12 miles times 11 or 12 miles. So approximately 120 or 125 square mile area full of dvash, honey, up to a person's ankles. But that's nothing. If you added up all of the zavos chol dvash of the ganz Eretz Yisrael, you would go and take it together, it would fill up the distance from Mibek Mechsi, which is the name of a place, until Akraditlbanki, which is another place. So you're wondering how far was the distance one from the other. Chav Beis Parsi Orcha, talking about 22 parsois. A parsa, as you know, is 4 mil. So therefore now you're talking about 88 mil. Oirech, Oirech is the length, 88 mil. We'll put you in the width, is Shita Parsi. Is 6 parsois. Since the parsois is 4 mil, you're talking about 24 mil. Wow. Reb Chelwe, Reb Avira, Reb Yosi, Bar Chanina, Iklo Lahu Asra. They came to a particular place. Ayisu Kamayu Afarsika. Even today in Eretz Yisrael, Afarsikim are peaches. And they brought him a peach. Now, how large was the peach? A peach was to have a ilfis. Ilfis is like a pot or a frying pan that was used in Kfar Hinoi. Now you're wondering, but how large is that? The ilfis kvar hinoi, kamahava hei soin, was as large as 5 soin. Huge, huge peach. Ochle shlish, these three giants of Chalber, of Avir, of Yosef, of Chanina, they ate a third of it, which is too much, you couldn't eat the whole thing, five so. They have Kirush Lish, and therefore they left over a third for others to eat, whoever wanted to participate. But also left Nebahem Dun Shlish, and they also served a third of it to their animals. That was that year. Lishon, in the next year, Ikla Reb Lozal Hosser Reb Lozal came to the same place in Eretz Yisrael. The Aisel Kamein, they brought him also a peach. However, unfortunately, because of the Averis of the generation, unfortunately, things had already declined. Nokta Biyodi, he was able to go and hold it in his hands. In other words, it was no longer that huge peach of five sa. He was able to hold it in his hand. The Omer, he said about this, Eretz Pri, the land of Eretz Yisrael, which was so full of these beautiful, wonderful, huge peyrois, Lemlecha. Lemlecha means that they are now like, have shrunk because of the salt. Now, what type of salt do we mean? Meiros Yoshiva, because of the evil that was committed by those that are residing there. In other words, because of the sins of the generation, fortunately, they lost this tremendous bracha in the fruits. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi ikla legavla. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi came to a place called Gavla. Chazonu lehano ketufi. What's heis ketufi? Rashi says ketufi means eshkoilos. Eshkoilos means clusters of grapes. He saw these clusters of grapes that were kaimi ki igli, that were as large as an egel, as a calf. Wow. Oman, he said, agolim ben akfanim. Look in the vineyards. These clusters of grapes appeared to be as if they were live calves walking around. That's how great they are, at least standing. Omrulay. So they told him, no, these are not calves. These are ketufinino. These are clusters of grapes. Omar. So he said, Eretz, Eretz, hachnisi peirisayich. Eretz Yisrael. Go and allow your peiris to shrink in size. Why? Lemi at moitzia peirisayich. Who now lives in these areas? The Arvim, unfortunately, the Arabs. So, for the Arabs, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have to be matriach to go and make these huge clusters of fruits, of grapes. You can make smaller ones. The Arvim halalu sha'umdu aleinu b'chatri seinu. Against these Arabs, who unfortunately, because of our sins, they are oymed aleinu, they are attacking us and challenging us and giving us suras. Sounds like current events. Lishan, a year later, Ikla Reb Chiya lehasan, Reb Chiya now, the previous master was Reb Shuv ben Levi. Now Reb Chiya came to the same place, Chazanu, and he saw that these clusters of grapes had already reduced in size. They're no longer like a calf. Remember, calf is like a young cow, holy cow. And now they have a kaimik easy. Now they're like goats. Omar izim and akvanim. See, saw them, these clusters of grapes that looked like goats. Hey, they're goats. Omrulay. So now the Arab said, Zil. Please, Reb Chiya, get out of here. Don't say anything. We're afraid that you're going to go and make a statement like Reb Shimon Levi said last year. And guess what? And then now these clusters of grapes are going to shrink further from goats, and they're going to look like next year like the size of chickens. And the year later, it's going to look like the size of a baseball, and then there'll be like specks. So, do us a favor, leave before you make any pronouncements. So, when Eretz Yisrael had its full blessing, then they saw one beisa that you planted, it was so fruitful and it would multiply so much that you could have from one beisa 50,000. We're talking about five chameshes. Riboy is 10,000. 50,000 koirin. Koirin, one kar is 30 saw. If you multiply 50,000 times 30, so now you start with 500,000, you're talking about 1.5 million saw growing from one base saw. Wow. So more, yeah, no good?
50,000 times 30.
Okay, so first add a zero, so 50 becomes 500,000.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Three. So, Timar, now how do you know all of this? Where does this come from? Timar, this is very simple arithmetic. Bishivasa shel Tsoyan, when Tsoyan was Biyishuv, Tsoyan, as we know, was in Mitzrayim, as we're going to see in the Gemara in another couple of lines, as well as Rashi brings it in Chumash, when we discuss the sizes of Chevron compared to the size of Tsoyan and its fruitfulness. If I'm not mistaken, it's this week's Parasha. If not this week, yeah, this week's Parasha, Parasha's Noyach. Anyway, so what does the Gemara tell us? Yeshivasa shel Tsoyan, and Tsoyan was the Yeshuvai, in other words, at its peak. They saw one Beisah, he says Shivim Koyim, would go and produce 70 Koyim. How do I know? The sign Umar Meir. Meir said about himself, and he reason, I myself saw it. the Bikat Beit She'an. Where was Bikat Beit She'an? Says Rashi, this was outside in Chutz La'aretz. We don't know exactly where this was, but Rashi says Bishar Aratzois. So this was Chutz La'aretz. Beiso Oise Shivim Koyim. That, in fact, it had the brach of one Beiso produced 70 Koyim. Since one koyr is 30 saw, 30 times 70 gets you to 2,100, right? Does that stim? 70, you'd add a zero, so it gets you 700. 3 times 7 gets you 2,100. 2,100 saw. Okay, but that's Beit She'an and Chutzlars. The Englicham Ula B'chol HaRotzeh, Yisrael Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. The land which is most fruitful and most nourishing, and most minerals and all the rest, that's Eretz Yisrael. How do I know? Shenem, it's in the Pasuk. Ki Gan HaShem Ki Eretz Yisrael. It's like Gan Hashem, that's how fruitful the land is. B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, Yoyis Mitzrayim. Of Eretz Mitzrayim, which is Kigan Hashem, the most fruitful of Eretz Mitzrayim, this is La'ila La'ila, this is Re'i Tzoya. How do I know? Because this was such a fruitful place, this became the metropolis, and this became the seat of government, where all the kings and all of the princes lived, all the ministers. Tehsib, call you Mitzrayim Tzara. If you want to go and find a hilly spot in Eretz Yisrael, the most hilly spot is in Hebron, meaning where it's very, very difficult to plant anything because everything is just a bunch of boulders and rocks and stones, very hilly, etc. To have a kivri bay shivri, and that's why they designated it for kvar, in other words, for Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, and presumably for other kvar. But nevertheless, Hebron mevuna al achas mi shiva betzaya. Hebron has the blessing that it's Mavuna. Mavuna means that it's more fruitful 7 times than Tzoyan. 7 times as much. How do I know this is in the Pasuk? The Hebron Sheva Shonim Nivzasa Lefnei Tzoyan Mitzrayim. Now, on the simple level, Hebron Sheva Shonim Nivzasa sounds like Hebron was built, in other words, the town, the city of Hebron was built up 7 years before Tzoyan. But the Gemara says that's impossible. My Nivzasa. Elaim Nivzasa Mamish, that it was built. Doesn't make sense. Who were the fathers of Mitzrayim and of Canaan? It was none other than Cham. And who was the older of the two? Mitzrayim was older than Canaan. How do I know? Shenema. Uvnei Cham, Kush Mitzrayim, Ufut Canaan. So we see that the second son of Cham was Mitzrayim, the fourth one was Canaan. So therefore, in all likelihood, when would Chum have built a town or a city for Mitzrayim or for Canaan? Mitzrayim would come before Canaan. If Mitzrayim comes before Canaan, that means Tzoyan was built before Hebron. If Tzoyan was built before Hebron, why does it say in the Pasuk that Hebron was 7 years Nivnesa Lefnei Tzoyan Mitzrayim? And therefore it doesn't mean that historically or chronologically that Hebron was built 7 years earlier. Tzoyan was built before Hebron. It means that the quality of the land and the fruitfulness of the land was 7 times as much as Tzoyan. Now you're talking about Trashan. So now, if we do simple arithmetic, since we said that Tzoyan is bound to be the same as elite Beit She'an, and Reb Meir said I saw Beit She'an, it was 70 kol, and if this is 7 times as much, 7 times 70 gets you to roughly 490 kol. Now we said, however, that it's not 490, we said that it's Chameshis Riboy Koyim. So how does that come out? Behind the Betroshim, that's if you talk about Troshim. Troshim means, again, if it's a hilly area like
Chevron.
Like Chevron, Shkoyim. Avshaloi Betroshim, we're talking about normal, then Chamesh Mea. Then it would be 500. In other words, we're just adding a little bit. Instead of 7 times 70 is 490, we're pushing it up to 500. Okay, that's very conservative. That's talking about that there's no special bracha. On a normal, regular basis, you would expect that Hebron, not Hebron, because it's Troshim, but other parts of Eretz Yisrael would be 500 times Tzoyan and Beit She'an. Unleashes his bracha to Eretz Yisrael. And what does it say at the end of the Pasuk? Meir She'arim. Right, it's Pasuk 6, V'yizrach Yitzhak Barat Tzuhi, V'yimtza B'ashon Ahiv, Me'yu She'orim, V'yivorcheyu Hashem, Akadosh Baruch Hu gave a special bracha. Me'yu She'orim doesn't mean, of course, the section of Me'yu She'orim in Yishlayim today. It means 100 times as much. 100 times as much. Now we're going to multiply 500 by 100. So first we're going to add one zero that's going to make it into 1,000, 5,000. Then we're going to add another zero that's going to make it into 50,000. That's how we started off the Gemara. At the time of, for instance, Yitzchak Avinu, when we had that special bracha, then a Beisah was able to go and produce 50,000 koirim, 100 times more than the normal bracha of the 500. Tanya, Omer B'Yosi, so B'Yehuda, and this is at least in the times of Rabbi Yossi, we're not zeicha to the huge bounty and fruit that we had before, but nevertheless, a so Yehuda, when you would plant it, a so Yehuda, it would go and produce five sa. Chomesh sa, what are the five? So a kemach, regular kemach meaning regular flour. So a soilus is a very, very fine flour. So a subin is a so a bran. So a morsin is a coarse bran. The so a kiburaya, what's so a kiburaya? Rashi parallel to our Gemara, Kiburaya is kemach she'ena yofet. It's not the best form of flour. In other words, it's an inferior flour. She always made a pas kibra that they would make black bread out of it, and anybody that would eat and look at it would say, ah, shanda, the Korean shanda. Shanda, of course, is a Yiddish term. Here, apparently, it's also a French term, and saying that this black bread was called a shanda. In Yiddish, shanda means something which is a shame or embarrassment. So perhaps there's some relation over here, that this, if you would serve this at a Suda Shemolachim, it would be a shanda, would really be embarrassing. Dr. Moravaita, Omalehu Tzedoiki, Lerab Chanina. The Tzedoiki, this could be, although it says the word Tzedoiki,
is very... says Mina.
Mina. Mina, of course, would mean normally a Christian, the Anshe Yeshu Natsri, which makes more sense in the context of the story. Because what was the story over here? The Tzedoiki said to Rab Chanina, Yo'a Mashbachisu Babarach. Although I don't agree with you entirely about what you say about the Torah and about Yiddishkeit and the Avodah Shalom, and there we have major differences of opinion. However, as far as the quality and the fruitfulness of Eretz Yisrael, there I'm with you. There I agree with you. That's why it would sound, because Tzedoki, after all, are Yidden just like the Perushim. Just unfortunately, they are OTD, they're off the Derech Yidden, but they're Yidden. Mashenkin, Aminim, the Anshei Yeshu Natsri, many of them unfortunately were originally Jews, but of course they could be from other sects and other nations as well. Anyway, he said, what you say about Eretz Yisrael, that it's great and has all of this fruitfulness, it's true! How do I know? Because Beiso Achas Hiniach Li Abba Mimena, my father left me apparently Birusha and Beiso in Eretz Yisrael, and, I'm sorry, Hiniach Li Abba, stop, Mimena from that Beiso is able to produce Mimena Moshach. Mashach means oil. Mimena chamar, I was able to produce wine. Mimena ibur, grain. Mimena kidneys, as well as beans and legumes. Mimena royois miknasi, and I still had room for my mikna, for my animals to go and graze. So either he means this literally, in other words, they took a fifth of the beisah, they set it aside for olive trees. Psh, I had tons of oil. A fifth of it I set aside for a grape, for a
vineyard.
Thank you, for a vineyard. And I had some of wine. And then a fifth I used for ibu, for growing grain. And a fifth for legumes. And there was still a fifth left over that we can go and graze all the animals. Or it could be that he meant to say that this was such a fruitful property. I made so much. I was able to support my family and have a nice parnasa. And I was able to go and produce oil and wine, etc. Okay, it sounds more like the first pshat, because he's saying even mimena royis miknasi, which means I had even room after four-fifths all being planted, there was still enough room for my mikna to go and graze.
How big is the beisa in terms of feet, roughly?
That's a very good question. So when I'm going to get to Kodesh, I'm going to talk about the size of the beisa mikdash, and in particular the mishkan. We say sosayin kechotzer mishkan. Sosayin kechotzer mishkan was 50 by 100, which is 5,000 square amas. However, a saw is half of that, so it's 2,500 square amas. So it's as if it's 50 amas by 50 amas gets it to 2,500.
Thank you.
Very welcome.
Thank you.
No problem. So it'll be basically, if you hold the amas 2 feet, it'll be 100 feet by 100 feet, which obviously is not Yankee Stadium. It's not all that big. Nevertheless, it's large enough a saw to produce all of this. Amalei hahu bar amiro. Bar amiro, Rashi says, is an Emorite, someone who comes from Emori. And what did he say? Lebar ardis, or he said to someone living there in Israel, Hai te'elasa de kaima aguda di ardena kama gadrisu mina. As we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, this Emori apparently lived in that region initially, and apparently he was thrown out when the Yidden came, or he fled when the Yidden came, and now he's asking with curiosity. You know that Te'ilosa, that beautiful date tree that you have over there, the Kaimagud of the Yarden, which is there on the shores of the Yarden River. Kaimagud, you know, how many tomorrow are you able to go and harvest from it? Omalei, so the Yid told him, Shitin Kar. And that's, of course, a huge amount. 60 kar. A kar being 30 saw. 60 times 30 is 1,800 saw. Wow. The Amorite was not at all impressed. Omalei, Akati le Alisuba. You haven't even really entered into the land yet. Achrivusa, and you already made it chariv. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu has already taken away the bracha. And then when we, the Amorim, live there, may the Esim Kairi have a Gazrin Mina. We would be able to go and cut double the amount, not 60 kar, 120 kar. Amalei. So now the Yid tells him back, Anom Nami, we too, Mechad Gisa Kaminalach. When I said 60, I meant just one side of the tree, I didn't mean both sides. Avad, when you take both sides, 2 times 60, Avad, it would be 120. What's the reason why he only said one side? Presumably he was worried about giving an Ayin Hara, and therefore he said, 60, you know, he didn't want to overdo it. But once the Amorite told him, we used to get 120, so he also get 120. You know, Miyuchasim, we did the same thing. I'm only talking about half of the tree. Amrav Chiz, the Maida Sib, said in the Pasuk, Etn lecha eretz chemdo nachlas tzvi. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the Eretz Yisrael that I give you is an Achlas Tzvi. Now what is Tzvi? Lama Eretz Yisrael, Nimshul Tzvi, in which respect is Eretz Yisrael considered to be Tzvi? Lama Malach Ma Tzvi Zeh Ein Oiroi Machzik Psorai, if Eretz Yisrael Ein Machzik is Perisa. If you ever flay, which means if you ever strip a dead Tzvi, a carcass, of its hide, and then after that you want to put it back, you'll see you can never put it back. Why can't you put it back? Because the hide is going to shrink somewhat, and therefore when you want to try to stuff it again with all the basar, with all the innards that this hide used to go and cover, it's not going to work. Tzviza ein oyle machzik psari. Once you take off the hide, you can never put the basar back in again. Av Eretz Yisrael ein machzik es b'perisah. Eretz Yisrael, when it has its special bracha from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, there are so many perois that there's no room in all of the storage bins of Eretz Yisrael to store and hold all of those papers. Dover Acher, Nochab Shat, Ma Tzvi Zeh Kal Mikol HaChayis. Just as we know, a Tzvi, a gazelle, a deer, runs very, very quickly. We say the Rotzka Tzvi, right? Of Eretz Yisrael, Kal Mikol HaRotzis, Lavashos Perisel. Eretz Yisrael too has that special bracha that its papers ripen more quickly than any other papers in any other lat. You're going to say, Imatzvi Zeh Kalbeg, sorry, Shamin. Maybe you're going to go and say, just like Tzvi Taka runs very quickly. Do we know why it runs quickly?
It's skinny.
Because it's skinny. Skinny people have the law to run typically more quickly than those that are obese. So that's why the Tzvi runs quickly. And if that's the case, maybe Averit Yisrael Kalle Vashle, Vein Periseh, Shmeinim, maybe its peiros are also scrawny and thin. And like you have in the beginning of by Yosef, right, with the papari, with the dreams.
It's Miketz.
Miketz, right? You have all of the...
Shumchos.
Exactly, the skinny animals. So maybe Shumchos. You're also... Sorry?
Yeah, the skinny ones.
The skinny ones. Yeah. So here, too, maybe you have scrawny, skinny fruits. Tamaloymar, Zavas Choluvitvash, Shemenim Mecholav. They're fattier, they're much more substance than cholav, than just milk. Sukkim Vitvash, and they're even sweeter than... The Blossom, he had solid Eretz Yisrael. The Blossom, when he was Eichet to go up to Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said, Paltali Michoda. I've been saved from one. What that one is, we'll see in a moment. Ki Samchu, when he received afterwards Smicha, as you know, they only gave Smicha in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't give Smicha in Chutz Laaretz. Omar, Paltali Mitarti. Now I've been saved from two. Ki is Kirti. Ois Voyu, the Soide Iber, when they sat him that he should decide with the exalted committee that decided about intercalation, in other words, Ibra Chodesh and Ibra Yor, etc. When do you make a leap year? When do you go make a 30-day month, etc.? So they had a special vad of great Chachamim Unavoinim that understood these things. So when they put me on that vad, Omer Paltali Mitlas. Now I've been saved from three things. So what's this one, two, three things? Remember, it's impossible. Now, if we look at the pasuk in its entirety, number 8, the Said Ami lo yu. Now we're talking about Chas v'Shalom, that Nevi'im Achoizim Shav, that are predicting false news, fake news, right? That's a famous expression today by our former president, maybe our future president, who knows? V'Achoizim Kozov, that they are also Kozov means also fake news, they're telling lies. So what are the three things? Besoid Ami lo yu, they're not going to be able to be Besoid Ami. They're not going to be Ubiksov Beis Yisrael lo yikasevu. They're not going to be written Miksav Beis Yisrael. But Ammas Yisrael lo yavoyu, and they're not going to be able to come into Eretz Yisrael. So these Nevi'im and Koismen that are telling lies, they're not going to be zoicha to these three things. So now says Rabbi Elazar about himself, Besoid Ami lo yu zed Soid Iber. Since I'm sitting the Soid Iber, then obviously I'm not Chas v'Shalom going to get this curse of this pasuk, or this punishment of this pasuk, that I won't sit be soidami, because I'm sitting beside him. Or because basically you could say was a smicha, because the smicha was typically written down on a piece of paper. So he's saying, Shoy, Baruch Hashem, I got that smicha is the chasimah that I am written, b'ksav beis Yisrael, that I'm Ames Yisrael, where you bow you, and that I wouldn't come, chas v'shalom, Ames Yisrael, k'mashmoy. I'm here, Baruch Hashem, I was over there, it's Yisrael. So therefore he was able to say about himself that I am safe in terms of the punishments of that pasuk. Reb Zeira Kiav Solik Yisrael. We had at the beginning of the sugya that Reb Zeira wanted to go up, and therefore he tried to hide from Reb Yehuda, because Reb Yehuda said, you're not allowed to go up. You have the Shalosh Shavuos and all the rest, six Shavuos. Anyway, so says Igmar Kiav Solik Yisrael, when he did go up to Yisrael, Le'ashkach Mebra Lemeber. That day there was no ferry. I guess the ferry service is broken down, and he couldn't get to Yisrael with a ferry. He had to go over the Jordan River or whatever river he had to cross. No ferry service that day. So what did he do? Nokad b'metzra v'ka'ava. What means nokad b'metzra? So Rashi explains that there were trees or poles on both sides of the river, and there were long ropes extending from one tree on this side, or from one pole on this side to the pole on the other side. As well as, there was a very narrow piece of wood down below on the river. So what he did was, he was holding for dear life with those ropes on top of him, and walking on this narrow slab of wood.
Plank.
This plank!
Maybe a log!
Unfortunately, I looked at the article, they don't have a picture. I mean, what can you do? Maybe next edition they'll have. If you look at Rashi, knock at the Metzra, about 10 lines on the bottom of Rashi. Yesh mokim she'in gesher. There was a place over there on the river, there was no gesher, there was no bridge. When Mashlichen ate, and they put down a plank or a log, al roich v'anor, that went misafel from one side to the other. It must have been a fairly long log or a long plank. The ein rochav, and it's not wide. Leilich olav, you couldn't just go and walk on it because Chas v'Shalom you would sink. Ki im oiches biyodu bechevel hamatuach lemala himenu, he would have to hold on for dear life with a chevel, for with a rope that was matuach, that was stretched above. Kosher shnei rosha b'shtei yisaydos. Oh, daka. Not trees, but there's two poles on one side, the other side, after the kam, after the kam, you stay every end up. So, with his hands, he had to maneuver and walk and hold on for dear life on with the ropes, and he had to be careful not to slip off this narrow piece of log or plank from one side to the other, and that's how he was able to get off. Omleyu Tzedoki, and again it says on the side now, Tzedoki was a Mina, who of course loved to poke fun at Jews, and he said, this rash nation of yours, that at the time of Kabbalah Satoira, instead of saying Nishma Vinasa, let's first hear the details and then we'll see whether we want to accept the Torah. No. Kanmisu Pamaychul Naichu, they said, no, Nasa Benishma. We'll find out later. Our Emun and Bitochen Lakadosh Baruch Hu, that this Torah is so beautiful, is such that we're not going to ask any questions. Nasa. And the Vinishman after that, you'll tell us what the details are. So, you rash people, the Maktim Pumaychu Lenaychu, Akati Bizuzaychu Kamisu, you still are rash. After all, why don't you wait until tomorrow? The ferry will be fixed. Overnight, you could have slept in Chutzlar, it's one more night, and you get there to show tomorrow. What's that? Malays, he told him, Duchna Moshe Baharn Lo Yizochula. The Heilig Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Haran, their whole lives, they were hoping to go over to Eretz Yisrael, and they weren't Zaycha. How do I know that I'll be Zaycha? I can't wait until tomorrow morning. Who knows, Chas v'Shalom, what's going to happen? Therefore, I had to go and rush as quickly as possible, and it's not a rash decision. Now the Gemara is going to tell us that some of the Tanoim and Amiroim had such a chibas aretz. Rab Abba Menashik Kipi the Akoi. When he would go and arrive in Akoi, he would go and kiss the Kipi. What are Kipi? The two Pshatim in Rashi. Second Pshat in Rashi is the Siloim, the boulders or the rocks. First Pshat in Rashi, Almoigim. Almoigim is usually translated as corral or coral. And you'll recall from the first Mishnah in Masechtas Gittin that Akoi was Tzofoin. In fact, you remember one of the big toises in on Daf Beis and Aleph in Gittin, that in Akoi itself, half or part of Akoi was in Chutz Lartz and part of Akoi was in Eretz Yisrael. When he reached the big sign that says, "Welcome to Eretz Yisrael," and he saw the kippi, he saw the rocks, he went down and bowed down and he kissed those rocks. Years ago, when he didn't come to Eretz Yisrael for the first time, they would get off the plane, they would go and kiss the ground of Eretz Yisrael to show the Chibas Aretz. There are very few people that do that nowadays because most of the time the flights arrive into the terminal, so you don't really touch, you don't see the ground. Years ago, when you'd have to walk from the plane, or they had buses going from the plane, and many people kissing the ground of Eretz Yisrael when they arrived, especially if it was the first time. Anyway, Rav Abba Menashe Kipi the Akoi, so he would go and either kiss the rocks or the coral of Akoi. Rav Chanina Misakin Miskele. Misakin Miskele means wherever he found a pothole, he would go and fill the pothole. Why? He says Rashi, because he didn't want the drivers or the walkers to go and say bad things about Eretz Yisrael. Look, Eretz Yisrael, all these potholes, I trip all the time and I get into the mud and look at the last Rashi, Misakin Miskele. Meshaba, he would even out. Umesakein, and he would fix Mechsholi Ho'ir, any type of Mechshol, in other words, any type of thing on the ground that was causing problems. Machmas Chibis Aretz, Shayza Chaviv Olav, he was so Chaviv, he was so dear to him. Umechazer, Shlo Yeitzi Shemra Aladrach, he wasn't worried about himself. He'll look carefully, he'll make sure not to fall into a pothole. They didn't want other travelers to go and say, it's Israel, it's a third world country, look at all these holes. Rabami Rabasi, Haimi Mishamsha Letula Umitula Leshimsha. What does that mean? When they will be learning outside, so depending on whether it was winter or whether it was summer, during the summer months when it got very hot, they would go and move their shtenders and their chairs, Letula, to the shade. And when it was a cool day, when the Tula in the shade, it was cold, then they would go to the Shimsha, they would go into the Shemesh. Why? Because they want to be able to say, we're not going to be Mitzrayim. See the third line of Rashi, Kadesh Lo Yuchlu Mitzrayim, that they shouldn't have the opportunity to go and complain. Al Yeshiva says to yourself, they will say, Alles is good, Alles is Geschmack, everything is fine. Reb Chiya Bar Gamda Megander Ba'afra, he would be Megalgal, that means he would go and roll in the offer of Eretz Yisrael, of the earth, the dust. Shnemar Kirotzu Abadech Es Avoneho V'es Aforu Yechonenu. That your avodim desired so much the avodim and the offer of Eretz Yisrael, they were willing to go and roll in it, to go and show the chibas aretz, how much they enjoyed it, how much they loved it. Now, in fact, Toisus on the Amud Aleph brings this pasuk, and he brings this pasuk with Gabe. Here it says, "Ratzu avodecha es avoneha." The Gemara said that Reb Chanina, or particularly Reb Abba, was nashe kipa da'akai. How did he know that he arrived in Eretz Yisrael and that these stones were Israeli stones? Maybe these were still Babylonian stones. Maybe they were still Chutzlaret stones. So it says, Toisvis, magically they had a different weight. See the second Toisvis on the Amud Aleph. Reb Chanina Yimah Mesakel Miskele. Pirish Shoykel Avonim, he would first weigh the Avonim, Umoitzen Kalis, and he would find that they're light. Omar Adayinli Nechlas Eretz Yisrael, I'm not in Eretz Yisrael yet. Kim Sheshoklen Umoitzen Kvedis, when he's picked them up, oh, these are heavy. There were no signs yet. It didn't say, welcome to Israel. So how do you know if he's in Eretz Yisrael? He would keep on picking up stones every few feet, as long as they're light. Your avodim wanted to find and feel those avodim of Eretz Yisrael. Once they're covered, they're heavy. Oh, dos is this? Now we're in Eretz Yisrael. Tav Toises talks about Akoi being partly in Eretz Yisrael and partly in Chutz Laretz, that we mentioned already earlier. Okay, one more shtickle. Zokti Yomara Omer Abzeira Omer Abiyermia Barab. Dor Sheben David Ba. The generation that David HaMelech is going to come, in other words, the Mashiach is going to come, Kategori B'Tamid HaKom. We're first going to have to go through what the Gemara called yesterday, the Chavli Mashiach. It's not going to be, oh, David HaMelech is here and everything is grand. There's going to be Kategori. What means Kategori? Says Rashi, Harbi Mastinim Umelamdim Choyva Yamdu Aleyen. Fortunately, they're going to have a lot of enemies and a lot of challengers. Even today, as you know, in the campaign in Eretz Yisrael, there's certain very anti-Haredi parties that say very, very nasty things about those yin that are sitting and learning the Heilige Torah, and they mock them and denigrate them ad la'aretz. So these are, unfortunately, hopefully we're mekayim with this, the Chavle Mashiach, and now Mashiach will be able to come. Ki amrit ha-kamed Shmuel Omar, when I repeated this in front of Shmuel, he said, tziruf achat tziruf. This is not going to be one thing. It's going to be, says Rashi, gzeiris al gzeiris. It's going to be an ongoing thing. Shnemar, v'oid bo asiriya, v'shov v'hoysa levoyer. This is going to continue on, and it's not going to stop. Tony Rabbi Yoh said, bezuzi, u bezuzi di bezuzi. Was meintes of Rashi, sholim achar sholim. Bezuzi means those. The word biza, of course, means booty, and shalal is also booty. So they're going to go and try to take booty from us one after the other. So it could be, you know, similar to, unfortunately, the Crusades and the Holocaust and all the terrible things. But the focus of the Gemara is not so much on Yidden generally. It's talking about particularly Talmid Chacham. So unfortunately, they're going to try to go and take captives from us one after the other, without stop. And Mirat Hashem, hopefully, those Chavli Mashiach will end, and then we'll see Mashiach. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. Mention we Messiah on Friday. Oh. And Daniel's going to be here with his Hanukkah.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe not. Hopefully, yes. Have a wonderful day. And I give him Chodesh. Chodesh Tov to one and all.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
I need two more people to take the Kaddish.
I'm coming right in. Is the rabbi there?
Yes.
Oh, sure. Yes, just Kaddish.